All right, welcome to the Health Ranger Report here on Brighteon.tv. And today our guest is Kevin McGarry, the president of Every BLM, which means Every Black Life Matters. And indeed, every life matters of people of color and everybody. And that's the message here, actually. This is an organization that counters the woke agenda and works to value the lives of people without creating racial division and hatred and race wars and all that nonsense. Instead of pitting black people and white people against each other, this organization, everyblm.com, works to create healing and unity of people of all different races and ethnic backgrounds and so on, so that we can work together in companies or in society to have a brighter future for all of us. And that's the vision that we need right now in our world. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with Kevin McGarry from Every Black Life Matters. All right. Welcome, friends. Mike Adams here, the founder of Brighteon.com. And we have a very powerful interview, a guest that we've been trying to get on for quite some time. His name is Kevin McGarry. He is the president of Every Black Life Matters, which you can find at everyblm.com. And he has a very powerful, I think, critical message for America about racial healing and how we can live together with freedom, free choice, educational choice, nonviolence, and all these other solutions without having our country divided into hatred and intolerance and all these other horrible things. So, Mr. McGarry, it's an honor, sir, to have you on. Thank you for your work, and welcome to the show.
Mike, the honor is all mine. It's really an honor and a privilege to finally have met you and to now be on your show. It's just a great honor for me.
Well, hey, look, then we're both honored because I've been pouring through your website and, you know, I heard about your book. It's called Woked Up. People need to check that out. And you've got a YouTube channel called Y'all Woked Up University that people have checked out. But give us a quick introduction, since this is the first time we've ever spoken and our audience, some of them might be new to your work. So give us a quick overview of what you do and what it's all about.
Yeah. So we are Every Black Life Matters. And actually, you know, when you think about it, a lot of folks think about BLM and they think, oh, man, what a horrible organization. Nothing good came from BLM. But actually, EBLM, Every Black Life Matters, came as a result of BLM. So if there is any good that has come from BLM and their machinations that tore up the country a couple of years ago, it's our organization. Yeah. We saw the violence, the hatred, the carnage, and the destruction of you know, private property in our major metropolitan areas a couple of years ago as a result of the George Floyd murder and the way that he was murdered for 9 minutes and 40 seconds. We all saw with horror and grief, and everybody had different ways to go about sort of trying to reconcile that. Within our inner cities, we had BLM actually leading the charge, along with their stepbrethren, the Antifa,
right,
organization, which is, you know, by definition, a white supremacist organization. When I said that a couple times in some of my speaking engagements, they say, well, why do you say that? Well, and I'd say, well, you know, here's the deal. 99% of Antifa, or Antifa, however you want to say it, literally are white. Okay,
so they wear hoods and they carry guns and intimidate people.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on.
Underneath those masks, they're white. Now, here's the thing: they did a study and they found that the overwhelming majority actually live in suburbs. So here's the deal: we have white folks coming from the suburbs to partner with a black organization to burn down black and brown businesses. I mean,
unreal.
Try to wrap your mind around that.
No, only in our world today could that ever be possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but and they get hundreds of millions of dollars in donations from corporations like McDonald's and Nike.
Oh, absolutely. So when you see that, and that's why I call them white supremacists. If you were really committed to burning down businesses to make a point, you would stay in your suburbs and you would say, look, you know, let's start burning down my apartment building. Let's burn down the suburban business across the street. Let's just burn some stuff down. Why do you go to the black areas and burn down black and brown businesses? I digress. Anyway, when we saw all of this, we said, look, there's a lot of folks out here, including some pastors, that were encouraging their parishioners to go out and march with BLM and partake in all of their craziness. And we thought that was a bridge too far. So my co-founder and I, Neil Mauman and myself, we said, why don't we start a real alternative that's moral, faithful, and righteous. And so people of faith, pastors, other communities can join us. And as we stand truly against every form of racism and every form of injustice. And so we formed Every Black Life Matters as the alternative to BLM. Now, what we did, you know, the pillars, if you go to our website, what we actually stand on are pro-life from conception to the grave, you know, nuclear family, fatherhood, school choice, nonviolence, criminal justice reforms. We still have more of correcting of Joe Biden's 1994, his Criminal Reform Act that we need to really correct.
Right.
And so, you know, we stand against all of these things. And the way that we came up with those things, we just went to the BLM website and saw what they stood for, which was Marxism. Oh, that's the other thing we stand for, free markets and capitalism, which with BLM, if you went to their website at that time, it said it was Marxism, it was anti-family, it was anti-father, it was anti-man.
Yes.
It was all the things that would really further destroy the Black community as opposed to help it and encourage it and support it and propel it forward. So we've been at this now for just about 2 years. And some people say, well, why did you have to borrow any of their moniker? Seems to me you're still dividing. You say every Black life matters. All lives matter. Every life matters. And then I bring to their attention, that's exactly what we're saying. All lives matter. And then they look at me like, excuse me? So let me explain that. So here's the deal. When Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, said, we don't want the word to get out, but we want to utterly exterminate the Negro population. She did not say Negroes and Asians or Negroes and Hispanics. She said Blacks. I want to exterminate Blacks. That was the business model. And so, unfortunately, Planned Parenthood has done a masterful job to the extent that Blacks make up approximately 40% of all abortions today, even though we only make up about 13% of the population.
Right.
And Black women only make up about 3% of the demographic that they can go after. So when you consider those stats, you consider how appalling it is that up to 90% of all Planned Parenthoods are within walking distance of Black and brown communities. You know that Margaret Sanger's strategy, because she was a diehard racist and a eugenicist, is really decimating the Black community. So here's the deal. When we see all other ethnicities being born at a much, much higher rate and Blacks being born at a much, much lower rate because we're targeted by Planned Parenthood, all we're saying is, look, every Black life matters too, T-O-O.
Yes.
And so if we can get, you know, and so basically what we're saying is, yeah, all lives matter. Every single life matters. God didn't make mistakes. He gave us all, you know, different paint jobs for his own purposes. And we should be thankful for that. And we have no reason to think that there's any one, any one ethnicity that's more important or better than the other. So we're saying the same thing. It's just that we are illuminating the fact that we're specifically targeted for extermination by Planned Parenthood by virtue of our title, Every Black Life Matters.
And that is absolutely true. And by the way, I think the naming of your organization is genius. I think it's pure genius.
Oh,
I think you nailed it. And anybody saying, oh, it's divisive, you know, they don't get it. That you're bringing people together. And what you just said is so true. I want to add to it that people of color are targeted and have been targeted for generations globally for extermination. Yes. And, you know, I'm like my organization, naturalnews.com, we're one of the few that has repeatedly, you know, covered this and documented it and produced documentaries and so on. And we, you know, we talk about the vaccines in Kenya that were the WHO approved vaccines that were laced with infertility chemicals to decrease population. We talked about the Nixon administration and the science advisor calling for food exported to Africa from America to be laced with infertility chemicals. That was 1971.
Wow.
Wow. Right? And we talked about how in Chicago, the Chicago nurses group meetings that tried to figure out why is cancer disproportionately affecting Black men and Black women. And they spent a couple of weeks digging into it, couldn't figure it out. You know, it's vitamin D deficiency, right? Because nobody Wow. tells them, get vitamin D. You know, the pigmentation in your skin is a natural sunscreen. You're not generating the vitamin D because you're indoors, you're not getting sunlight, and that's why your cancers are more aggressive. So we, you know, Wow. we've been covering this, and I hear silence on these issues from most corners of both mainstream and alternative media as well. It's just been baffling to me.
Yes, yes. And the other thing is you haven't talked about, and I know you do cover because I watch and read Natural News, but one of the, you know, all of Fauci's machinations, his schemes, literally, I would say Fauci is, in my opinion, he's very, very similar to Josef Mengele. You know, yeah, really, his right. experiments, grotesque.
Absolutely.
And what he did with AIDS and just terrible, terrible man. I mean, he's given all the accolades by other folks who have a different persuasion politically. But
look what he did to those new, I think it was the New York Black kids that are the yes. orphans, right?
And absolutely.
He murdered yep. them with medical experiments.
Exactly. Exactly. And then the AIDS stuff, you know, of course, Robert Kennedy brought all this stuff out and he still, you know, I just applaud his work. But so, yeah, so absolutely. Blacks are targeted. This all, like you said, it's been going on for generations. And so all we're trying to say is, look, hey, every Black life matters too. So just let yeah. us live to the same level that every other ethnicity lives. And some people come up to us and say, well, what do you expect Planned Parenthood to do? They're just trying to meet the need. And I say, lose me with that. I mean, that in itself is insensitive and it's racist. Okay, so here's the issue. If Planned Parenthood really just wanted to cater to women, because women's health care is important, the demographic research has already been done. They can leverage the research that's been done by Walmart and Target. They know where their women across the country congregate. And if Planned Parenthood was sincere, they'd go ahead and just put a Planned Parenthood at or about every single Walmart or Target in the country, because it's just women, right? But they won't do that. They still want to target the Black community and continue to disproportionately target and then exterminate Black babies.
It's unreal. But now on top of this, and I love the fact that you counter what I'm about to describe here, but there's a media and cultural narrative that is deliberately trying to drive division to such a degree that they're almost trying to set off a race war in America.
Yep.
So there's this demonization in a lot of culture now, demonization of white people against Black people, right? It's like they want both sides to feel demonized and hated so that they hate each other.
Yes.
Instead of teaching any kind of unity or healing or how do we work together, it's got to be deliberate, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of people don't really understand why over the past few years, a lot of these race issues have really been ginned up. Everybody just seems on edge, you know, agitated. And where did all this come from? And why is it now at such a fever pitch? Now, here's the thing. We have in Ibram X. Kendi, a guy who is literally part of the World Economic Forum. He is one of Klaus Schwab's disciples. And if you know anything about Ibram X. Kendi, he's the guy that wrote How to Be an Anti-Racist. Well, it just so happens that the World Economic Council and all of those who are part of the World Economic Forum are all white, and Kendi is a Black man. Now, what's interesting about this is Kendi and his studies that talk about how to be an anti-racist, he goes in and he basically agitates within corporate environments all of the ethnics against the white you know, workers in the, in those environments, and basically, essentially divides the room and then, you know, basically confirms that whites are complicit with racism because of the 1800s and this and that. I don't know all of the justification, but it doesn't unify anything. It fully divides. It further erodes trust amongst coworkers. It's really, really corrosive. It's just a terrible thing. Oh, and yeah. Kindi does it because he's part of the World Economic Forum. If you know anything about the World Economic Forum, their goal is to basically, essentially, do a great reset. Now, they're not going to get to a great reset if everything is hunky-dory in America. America's really the last outpost, if you will, for freedom around the world. So if they can get America, through the guy that they currently have occupying the White House, to throw up his arms and say, hey, you know, the streets are on fire. There's nothing I can do. Come on, UN. Come on, WEF. Go ahead. Let's do the Great Reset because, you know, we need a global presence here so we can really bring our streets under control. So that's kind of what they're trying to do. Fortunately for us, it hasn't worked to any large degree. I mean, we did feel like our streets were never going to get back to normal during the crazy, tumultuous 2020. Mm-hmm. But things calmed down when after the election, and things, you know, have been somewhat normal in, since that time, other than the over the top crime rate, you know, letting criminals out without, you know, without bail, and all of the other craziness that we're seeing in our urban areas.
Well, yeah. And don't forget that Trump just announced he's running again. So I'm pretty sure the old BLM teams are going to get warmed up. You know, they're warming up the Molotov cocktails as we speak. There's going to be more insanity if Trump, you know, continues this, and he probably knows that. But I think they're just going to roll out the same teams again. And a lot of us in alt media, we suspect that these so-called Antifa people, that many of them are just bussed from city to city.
Oh, they are. Absolutely. Yeah, I've actually seen videos of that. Absolutely. No doubt about it.
Okay.
They're bussed from city to city. All of the bricks and Molotov cocktails and those things are staged in these various corners throughout the city, and they go and get their supplies, and then they do their dirty work.
Right.
And this is not a viral movement, folks. This is contrived, very strategic in a lot of ways, and it's specifically designed to decimate black and brown inner city communities. And now, that, to me, is racist.
Let's talk about some solutions here. And now I understand that your organization, again, folks, the name is Every Black Life Matters. So it's everyblm.com. You offer corporate training that actually teaches racial unity and doesn't, you know, try to shame people for their skin color or lack of color. Let's say for the whites in the room, they're not just go to a corner and feel guilty. You know, you don't do that. What do you offer for corporate training?
Yeah, so what we saw is with Kindi and with Robin DiAngelo, which, you know, the white fragility lady, they've been going around the country and they've been amassing tens of thousands of dollars per visitation, if you will, and, you know, in these corporate ballrooms, boardrooms, rather, and essentially have been, again, dividing, guilting, shaming people based on their immutable skin color. Okay, so we decided, look, we need an alternative. We need, you know, a fair, non-ideological, so that, you know, with Kindi and DiAngelo, you're going to get a heavy dose of Marxism, you're going to get a heavy dose of leftist progressivism, you're going to get a heavy dose of just wokeism generally, okay? And so if you're not woke, you're going to be, you know, sort of castigated as a dissenting voice in the room, castigated as a supremacist and a racist. And it's just all bad. So what we do is we say, look, you know, white supremacy and racism does exist. Okay. We actually need to go to the roots of that and discover why it exists and how it exists and how to get rid of it. And so just like you would if you were to completely destroy major edifices or structures within a city, you would say, hey, we need to completely demolish, implode, and just completely erase the foundations of that large structure over there. You call that raise. You want to raise the building. So what we call our training is RAZIST, R-A-Z-I-S-T. And because we think that the only way to appropriately deal with racism, if you're sincere, is you must go to its roots and foundations, and you must completely demolish, implode, and deal with the roots and foundations of racism and white supremacy. And then we can figure out a way forward. And so we provide all of that to our corporate partners who would want to actually keep the workforce still unified and working together, trusting one another, and having mutual respect. They can call us, and we'll gladly go to any workforce in the country and help with those types of issues.
So
it is racial sensitivity training. You'll get trained and certified, and so we actually certify you as well. Your entire
role. Well, that's great. That's something maybe a lot of our listeners could take advantage of because they're business owners. They could hire you to come in. Do you do this nationwide or just certain regions?
Yes, we do. Nationwide. We'll go anywhere. Yes.
Okay. Cool. And then, so a question then, when you go into these environments, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm just guessing, but in my experience, the most intolerant people in any corporate environment are the wokesters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's actually a great, great point there, Mike. I appreciate it. So here's why. This is actually the genesis of my latest book called Woked Up. The subtitle is Finally Putting an Axe to the Taproot of White Supremacy and Racism in America. Now, I didn't quite know what to expect when I started down this journey to write about, you know, the whole woke movement and what it is and what it's not. But I knew I needed to start it with Karl Marx. Everybody that understands what wokeism is, you understand that it's rooted in Marxism. Okay. So actually, all wokesters can be, you know, really are revolutionary Marxists. That's really what they are.
Good point.
And so they're actually, you know, providing, you know, Karl Marx's dream of having revolutionary Marxists around the world really sort of, you know, coercing and subjugating, if you will, the rest of society. And that's the kind of tactics with cancellation and censoring and all of the pejoratives and all of this. That's what they're trying to do, right? Is try to, you know, basically subjugate or cast, you know, do away with, if you will, dissenting voices. So anyway, what I started with was Marx. And then I realized something. I realized that, wait. Marx literally had a mentor. And his mentor was Charles Robert Darwin. So,
okay, right.
You know, when you look at Darwin, because, you know, all of Marx and Engels, the early works, they fully dedicated it all to Charles Darwin. Because they basically infused, they took all of Darwin's works and his major philosophies and infused it into their economic and social, you know, philosophies and that kind of thing. So anyway, so here's what happened. So when I went to look at Darwin's work, I took a look at his first book, and it's on natural selection for the preservation of most favored races. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And that's literally what it is. It's the title of his work, you know.
Really? It's not Survival of the Species?
No. It literally is. Let me give you the literal. It's The Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Most Favored Races in the Struggle for Life.
Thank you all for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com. And remember, I built this platform so that we can have uncensored conversations just like this one. God bless you all. Thank you for listening. Take care.